everyone. Also on behalf of the CEO, and welcome back. As always, at the beginning of the year, we want to present the new business plan to you, outlining 2025, and which was just approved by our board of directors. I will begin by talking to you about the preliminary results for the past year and to give you an overview regarding the scenario and the targets that we have given ourselves on the group level. I will then leave the floor to the CEO, who will illustrate our strategies on all of the activities included in our portfolio and the group's financial results. I'd also like to underscore the fact that this year's business plan presentation coincides with the group's 20th anniversary, highlighting once again an important growth perspective.
EBITDA 2021,
EBITDA 2021 exceeded 1.2 billion euros,
mostrando così la maggiore crescita,
showing the highest organic growth in our history. This figure is consistent with the good performance on the interim figures we already shared with you, highlighting a strong growth in the demand for value-added services geared towards energy efficiency, an effective risk management strategy, and the commercial value of our strong circular footprint in waste treatment and energy sales. And finally, the constant contribution of M&A. These are all key elements in our strategy, which have proven to be effective even in the current context. This growth is accompanied by a good balance sheet, as shown by the net financial debt to EBITDA ratio, which is equal to 2.7 times. Despite the presence of over 650 million euros of investments during the year, this preliminary balance sheet confirms an average annual growth rate of 10%, with an EBITDA which increased over 6 times over the 20 years. And above all, it shows the constant growth path we've had. Now, with these preliminary results, we have gone well above the 2021 targets of the five-year plan we drafted 5 years ago. The EBITDA targets present in the group's five-year plans have been constantly exceeded over the last 5 years, and the preliminary figures for 2021 show that we have an outperformance of around 85 million euros compared to our target. These outperformances have also allowed us to increase the dividends distributed compared to what we planned every year. Our dividend policy, which we review each year based on the results achieved, is a floor subject to be increased whenever we outperform our targets. The preliminary results and the good expectations regarding net profit will allow us to propose to the Board of Directors, which will approve the annual report in March, a dividend of 12 cents per share, up 9% compared to the 11 cents paid last July. In short, we are off to a good start, given the fact that in the first year of the business plan, we have outperformed our expectations with over 1.2 billion in EBITDA. We have confirmed our strong financial soundness, which leaves us room to increase the dividend again to be approved at the end of March. We are concluding one of the best years in our history. At the same time, we are starting the first year of the five-year plan to 2025 with a strong momentum. Going to the specifics of the scenario, we're finally seeing that some long-awaited changes are becoming more tangible and operational. In our regulated businesses, the tenders have finally become a reality. In our local territories, Hera Group made a bid in a tender for gas distribution in Udine, a tender in water in Rimini, and three tenders in waste collection in the Emilia-Romagna region, namely Ravenna, Cesena, Bologna, and Modena. To date, we have been awarded all of these tenders by converting already expired concessions into long-term concessions which have a great value. Over the next 5 years, we will face other tenders, and our ambition is to renew another 4 concessions in waste collection and in gas distribution. Furthermore, in the water sector, we have concessions that expire on average between 2027 and 2028, giving visibility to our investments also beyond the business plan period. In the sale of energy sector, the liberalization process for customers in the majority sector has finally begun. The first tender processes launched in 2021 on a small segment of customers, namely self-employed professionals, also served to test the liberalization method for the entire retail market. This first round of tenders saw Hera being awarded 1/3 of the customers by winning 3 out of 9 tenders. The next liberalization of the retail market will free up some 11 million customers on the national level, and it is scheduled for 2024. Last but not least, the greatest growth opportunity in Italy still lies in the excessive fragmentation of competition in all markets, with a very high number of suboptimal small and medium-sized companies in the regulated businesses and in the liberalized energy sales, some 500 companies, and in waste treatment. This is a very large number of companies that has allowed our group to constantly grow through M&A by generating almost half of the growth achieved so far through it. Other M&A opportunities are opportunities we expect in the future, and they will be focused on by looking at our core businesses with a selective approach to creating value. This is a broad set of opportunities to further develop our positioning in our target markets, as we have proven to be able to do in the past with each of these drivers. Now, in light of these perspectives, we have launched an ambitious investment plan worth 3.8 billion euros, up from the previous five-year plan, with 641 million euros in further investments. We'll have to build new projects and facilities, averaging around 768 million euros per year until 2025. This is a much higher pace, up 59% roughly, compared to what we achieved on average over the last 5 years. This increase reflects the greater opportunities offered by the current scenario. It also reflects the greater financial resources allocated by our group. Roughly 1.8 billion, in fact, are allocated to growth, to the organic development of infrastructure for 1.3 billion, and M&A transactions for over 300 million, and to tenders for roughly 160 million. Investments dedicated to organic development is especially significant, up by 75% compared to the previous plan. The investment plan was launched in compliance with the allocation criteria, which is focused on the returns offered by the projects that were previously selected on the basis of ESG criteria, allowing us to select the most interesting investment opportunities. The improved scenario and the increase in investments allow us, therefore, to review all of our five-year targets upwards. The EBITDA to 2025 is expected to be 1.4 billion, with a cumulative growth equal to 277 million euros over the five-year period. A growth perspective above 30% higher than that of the previous five-year plan, which implies an average annual growth rate of 4.5%, significantly higher than the 3.7% of the old plan. This target is already expressed net of the review of the WACC by ARERA and also the end of some incentives on renewables. Growth will be supported by all types of opportunities, be they organic or M&A opportunities. Organic growth will contribute with 192 million euros. The main items are, in fact, the expansion of market shares and energy sales, with an increase in energy customers by 1.1 million, so that we can achieve 4.5 million customers in total, and in waste treatment, with an increase in 600,000 tons treated per year. The increase in demand for value-added services and energy efficiency projects, up at around 25 million. And finally, the increase in turnover resulting from the expansion of our assets promoted by the investment plan. The efficiencies we expect to achieve is also important, 100 million euros over the five-year period, and this shows our focus on extracting synergies, which is something we have constantly been working on. The M&A transactions, which were partly implemented in 2021, will support our growth by feeding the development of all of our portfolio's core activities, beginning with the liberalized market, where M&A opportunities have also proven to be faster in terms of their execution compared to those with local public entities as counterparts. We expect over 100 million euros to stem from M&A, which is in line with what we achieved over the past 5 years. To this forecast, we also have to add the value of the synergies we can extract, which will be on top of the target set for our business plan. This growth is then transferred directly down to EBIT, much more so compared to the past, thanks to the significant improvement of our results stemming from sales and waste treatment activities. EBIT growth is expected to average 5% per year on average until 2025. This plan is more ambitious compared to the previous one, although it continues to be based on very visible growth drivers, as already seen in the 2021 results. We will be able to take advantage of all growth opportunities by strengthening our platform, which is efficient and scalable, and able to accommodate further margins without increases in the cost base. This will translate into an increase in the EBIT per employee indicator. And throughout the business plan years, we expect to have further efficiency gains up to 16.5% compared to 2020. In the networks business, the optimization will contribute with the supply points managed per employee, which will grow on average by 11.3%. Also thanks to the consolidation offered by gas tenders. In the waste treatment, the volumes handled per employee will see an average increase of 16.3%, leveraging on the asset base and on recent acquisitions, whereas in the sale of energy, customers handled per employee will grow by 31.5%. After the consolidation of the 700,000 customers acquired by Ascopiave in 2019, it's ready to welcome the customers put to tender with the liberalization of the Maggior Tutela market. I'll now give the floor to our CEO. Thank you. Good morning. Before I begin to illustrate the results of each business area, allow me to give you an overview for a moment, also because this will help us understand some of the types of actions I will be describing. From a helicopter view, we can understand that 2021 and early 2022 are marked by a continuity in the approach to a number of fundamental issues, first of all due to the EU, but also due to a series of new references in Italy. Naturally, I'm referring to the Green Deal introduced by President von der Leyen, but above all, I'm thinking of the Green Deal's implementation policies, including Fit for 55, the Circular Economy Package, the Green Gas Directive, which was leaked in late December. Within this framework, we have to consider our recovery fund, addressing a set of issues, in reference to which, allow me to say that we believe we have a competitive advantage, or at least an important positioning, due to a simple reason. The directives and the targets set within the EU and Italy's frameworks have been a part of our strategy for quite some time. In these contexts, we made a few choices years ago, and that is the direction we've been heading in for quite some time. And therefore, this is an advantage also vis-a-vis the nature itself of possible opportunities. Secondly, consider the nature of our portfolio. We are a multi-business company, and some of the fundamental answers when facing the challenges ahead are also born from the cooperation and the synergies between different business areas. This, of course, applies to green gases and hydrogen specifically, but a number of other contexts too, in which infrastructure and activities are born and create synergies with one another. Up to some time ago, the portfolio's multi-utility nature was characterized by the fact that we had more businesses, and therefore we could offset over time any downturns in certain activities by boosting development in others. And over the years, as seen in the graph that Chairman showed us earlier, we were able to guarantee a constant growth in our group's margins. And therefore, intrinsically, the idea of balance things was and continues to be valuable. And as we look to the future and to the challenges we face, I think this multi-utility setup also has another intrinsic value. Many of the solutions we have to deal with and that we have to implement aren't anything ordinary. They aren't limited to one single area of activity. In fact, they are the outcome of cooperation and the blending of certain specificities. I'm referring to the development of green gases, for example, and hydrogen especially, in which an important role is played not just by our infrastructural activities in gas distribution or even the water cycle, as I'll be mentioning later, but also by the entire energy sector or by the waste sector. The presence of these elements within the portfolio represent opportunities for solutions or the streamlined way of identifying solutions. The third is linked to some of these initiatives, not just the ones I mentioned a moment ago, but others too that fall naturally within the Recovery Fund's different missions. In particular, if we look at the calls that have been published regarding the circular economy, we have already identified some 250 million euros in new projects, roughly half of which, equal to 120 million, are also part of our business plan. So regardless of whether or not we get financing from the NRRP and how much or how little we get, we will fulfill them. Others yet we may realize as these resources become available. This positioning and these reflections, moreover, have led us to reiterate our belief in the strategic framework we introduced last year, which is inspired by the three major guiding principles we have equipped ourselves with in the creation of shared value: the pursuit of carbon neutrality on the one hand, followed by regeneration and closing the loop when it comes to the use of materials and circular economy, and thirdly, resilience and innovation. That's where the GROWTH acronym comes in as a way of summarizing the six areas we work in and intend to continue working in, because what we expect to achieve from the development of these guiding principles is in line with the goals we have given ourselves for 2030, and which in turn are part of the more general goals we have set as a nation and as Europe. This goes back to the green themes, including further energy efficiency initiatives or the development of green energy. In line with the TCFD guidelines we have been inspired by for quite some time now, topics such as resilience, regeneration, technology. I'm not going to illustrate each and every one of them. I imagine you remember them from last year, but you will also find that they are well represented. So that's where we started designing the asset allocation of our investments. As the chairman mentioned earlier, $3.8 billion is our investment target for the next 5 years, which is divided into our three major areas. Networks, of course, cover the largest part with some $2.1 billion. Followed by the waste sector with over 1 billion euros, and last but not least, the energy sector with roughly 0.5 billion euros. Now, the breakdown of these investments is roughly 62% in regulated activities and about 38% in liberalized activities. Naturally, this breakdown is also reflected in the development we expect in terms of profitability, where the 1.4 billion target is achieved through growth in the network sector equal to 73 million, with the reabsorption of the negative effect equal to 22 million, linked to the review of the remuneration on capital we became aware of at the end of 2021. 76 million is the growth in energy. And in this case, the largest growth is the one expected in the waste sector, equal to 122 million. So in 2025, we will have these EBITDA figures with 43% determined by regulated activities and 57% by liberalized activities, as we have been starting to see in the last couple of years. Let me give you some details regarding the nature of these investments. If we consider these 3.8 billion euros, according to the different growth dimensions I referred to earlier, we'll notice that roughly 1.2 billion out of the total 3.8 billion will be dedicated to resilience activities, which account for about 31%. Roughly 1 billion will be invested in innovation, equal to about 25%. We have about 0.5 billion dedicated to the development of green gas solutions. Therefore, also in this case, it is equal to around 15%. By combining these figures, you'll see that they cover a predominant part of the 3.8 billion. This is also underscored by the measurement of compliance with the respective taxonomy. And here I added a bit of an explanation, and I apologize if I go into the details. When we consider our 3.8 billion, the amount that can be measurable or comparable with the taxonomy guidelines is only equal to 3 billion, because we have to exclude financial investments and investments in so-called central structures. Within this amount, roughly 3 billion, there is a part which is neutral with respect to taxonomy policies, covering about 41%. 58% are taxonomy compliant, and only 1% of our investments are not, which means that if we were to analyze the investments we expect to make in the coming years, about 98% are perfectly taxonomy compliant. And there's a final dimension, which is related to taxonomy, namely shared value. And here we can see that two-thirds of our investments are perfectly consistent with shared value. Consequently, the percentage of our shared value margin is destined to grow significantly over the next 5 years. We expect it to increase from 41% to 55%, with a growth roughly equal to 310 million compared to the overall growth we have planned, and therefore it is more than proportional. As I was saying, the outlook to 2025 is just one step in the path to 2030 that we designed for ourselves last year already, and that we haven't refrained from updating. You may recall that we identified four parameters in the area of carbon neutrality, which we want to monitor year after year, with respect to which we have given ourselves a clear target. One such target is the reduction of climate-altering gases, which has been certified by Science Based Target Initiative as being perfectly compliant with a path to remain well below 2 degrees, as set in Paris at the COP meeting. Part of this has already been achieved. We have given ourselves the goal of reducing emissions by 37%. The intermediate step to 2025 sets the expected reduction at 26%. And this will be achieved by other components, including the further penetration of the sale of renewable energy to our customers, which is already 100% for all residential customers. Here it's about working more with industrial customers. Or one of our preferred topics, which is energy efficiency. Already since 2013, we've started to pursue this systematically, and we want to bring it to a 10% reduction by 2030. Similarly, in the world of circular economy, the second axis and shared value, we have some very ambitious goals, the first of which is, of course, plastic recycling. Plastic is a deeply debated issue with respect to which we have made very specific commitments, similar to those certified by Science-Based Target Initiative or towards the Ellen MacArthur Foundation and the European Union. And here we will make a big leap forward in the next 5 years, bringing us very close to the goal set for 2030. So much so that if we will be able to achieve that goal by 2025, we will have to increase the goal to 2030. And therefore we want to increase the amount of plastic we recycle by about 125%. We also have to add a series of targets, further improving the recycled packaging, which is already above EU targets set for 2030, and then we want to raise above 80%, and so on. All of this leads us to an ambitious target with respect to shared value, which we want to increase to 70% by 2030, 15 points higher than the 55 we have given ourselves as a target for 2025. Let's move on to the three major areas, and let me briefly illustrate the strategic guidelines that we have in terms of concrete actions and in terms of the composition of the levers and components that will allow us to achieve the target we've set. Let's begin with waste. We decided to name this chart Building the End-to-End Leadership. In this area, as you know, we have been expanding our presence in the value chain for quite some time now, going beyond the simple treatment and disposal of waste and entering into the circular economy, not only with plastic recycling, but also with the development of green gases. And with the global waste management, we want to strengthen our presence both in the recycling sector, not just by expanding our ability to transform the plastics we already manage, which are PET and low-density polyethylene, but also by entering the so-called rigid plastics segment. But we are not content with that. We have started exploring other niche areas for the future, including carbon fiber, which is obviously interesting for us since we are located in the Boulder Valley, and which we believe can offer important expansion opportunities given the progressive increase in the use of this material, as well as systematically improving the quality of the selected products we collect to improve the recycling percentage, which already stands between recycling and recovery at around 94% in our territories. We aren't satisfied. We want to do more. And we want to do more in biomethane by doubling our production capacity. Currently, our production stands at around 8 million. We want to reach 17 million. We have two concrete projects already, one of which is authorized and under construction, the second of which is in the final stage of authorization. Third is to work with industrial clients more and more and more closely through the global waste management approach that we have developed over the last 3 to 4 years, and that we recently strengthened in 2021 on the geographical level by acquiring Ricicla, Vallortigara, and SEA, but that we want to further expand on the industrial supply chains level. Each industrial supply chain requires specific solutions, and the development of specific solutions in a given supply chain opens up the market within it to all companies, which in our case are medium to large ones. Obviously, this will also be accompanied by the expansion of partnerships we already have with other European operators, because we are increasingly moving from national solutions to European solutions. And then we have asset management. There could be no industry or no business in the sector unless you can rely on an efficient, comprehensive, and above all, climate-compliant asset base. And from this point of view, of course, our efforts in terms of the investments required to keep our asset base as efficient and effective as possible will be significant. What does this mean for us? It means significant growth. We know this is a major challenge. Growth equal to 122 million over a five-year period, bringing the profitability of this business from just under 160 million to 380 million is a significant challenge, especially if we then have to deal with a 15 million euro contraction related to the expiration of some incentives. But we are confident that we can do it in the three major areas I was mentioning, namely recycling, with a growth of about 16 million in the sector Aliplast operates in, 60 plus million in the treatment sector, and also with the contribution of waste collection equal to 7 million, which will benefit from the renewal of concessions in most of its activities for another 15 years, as you know. All this means working on efficiencies for some 30 million, but also on business expansion with an increase in volumes treated by around 600,000 tons. Moving on to the energy sector, we decided to use the Me We slogan here because, as with many of the issues that relate to us and that interest us as we manage public utilities or essential services, as some would label them, we feel that solutions and certain goals can be achieved by working together with our customers. To do this, of course, we started from the very backbone of a business enterprise, which is customer operations and customer management, the so-called customer experience, which we have invested significantly in. We are planning significant developments to improve effectiveness and to improve efficiency as a way of being constant in a key parameter, which is cost to serve. Over the years, despite the systematic increase in the functions, the features, and the instruments with which interaction with a company is guaranteed. Now, having an effective machine, however, also requires an effective system of offering it to the market. And that is why we've created our product factory, a product factory which is becoming increasingly important since it is no longer just a matter of carving out an effective and attractive offer to the market. It is a matter of enriching that offer with an entire set of other elements we have been introducing over time, ranging from value-added services to equipment to be installed in homes or in the businesses we work with. That includes HVAC equipment, electric mobility, or more recently, distributed generation through photovoltaic systems. Here we have already achieved important results. In 2021, we closed the year with over 70,000 signed contracts, and we want to grow to over 110,000 contracts in 2025. This will happen not just through value-added services, but also from more than 8,000 installations throughout the business plan years in the HVAC sector, plus 3,500 photovoltaic installations in homes and at industrial sites. All of this, however, can be done by exploring new business models, and that's why we set up a research and development unit within our energy sector as a way of feeding and designing the evolution of the product factory, which, again, isn't just a matter of products. but it also focuses on setting up the supply chain, enabling the delivery of these products. Since this is a sector made up of technology and not just of commodities, obviously data strategy is of fundamental importance. And here, given the appearance of 2G systems and the increasingly wide presence of gas smart meters, we will develop a set of actions that we have already designed or that we are already implementing. What is the ultimate goal of all this? To achieve a growth worth 76 million euros and reabsorbing some elements which are negative, but which do mark a contraction compared to 2020's profitability, since that is what we want to compare ourselves to. Our target is to reach 444 million through efficiencies worth a little under 30 million, through organic development equal to 20 million, and as I was mentioning, from value-added services and energy efficiency in public administration buildings, which is worth 26 million. Let me focus on this for a moment. These 26 million won't just be achieved through value-added services, but also through the opportunities we began having in 2021, linked to the so-called super eco bonus, which, as you know, has been extended to 2022 and 2023, which means that targeting the 444 million goal will happen faster within the five-year period. And this clearly is a major contribution to cash flow as well. As far as the customer base is concerned, there will be another change which we feel is important in our evolution. It will be the reversal in our customer base between the predominant presence of gas customers compared to the electricity ones. And for the first time in our history, we will have more electricity customers than gas customers. As you can see, compared to a 4.5 million customer target, 2.5 will be electrical and the rest will be gas. Now, what will bring about this change? On the one hand, the continuation of the customer base expansion policy we have been implementing in recent years, moving from 100,000 customers to over 1 million, but also and especially the opportunities stemming from the liberalization and the major retailer market. And last July, we already had some quite satisfactory results. We acquired 60,000 customers of the 200,000 customers which were tendered off. And that's where we expect to obtain, compared to the larger customer base size, which will be auctioned, which should be above 15 million customers. Again, we expect to reach at least 1 million. And this, of course, will speed up a process that we have been building over the years. And finally, the network sector. We've gone back to the concept of IoTility we introduced last year. The components underpinning development and growth in this area ultimately are a perfect match with the concept of IoTility. This means working very much on the theme of resilience, and resilience has to be both adaptive and reactive when it comes to climate change. As I mentioned earlier, roughly 1.1 billion will be devoted to this, and this implies working on network infrastructure and network digitization. The final element is the smart meter. As you know, we introduced an innovation, patent for an electronic gas meter that can also be certified for the measurement of blends with green gases, including hydrogen, which will be further developed with the rollout plan for the second generation electronic meters. And this goes back to the concept of being a multi-utility company with solutions for the energy transition towards green gases. The Power to Gas project is now in the executive design phase. As you know, it is a project that integrates perfectly within the water system and draws efficiency from this integration. We're also developing other solutions and asset readiness to manage green gases with our infrastructure. Finally, here too, technology and artificial intelligence come in, allowing us to move increasingly towards the virtualization of our networks, and this will affect our operations model to be either implemented or adapted. This will be the number one enabling factor in achieving the 40 billion euros in efficiencies that we are targeting. That is an essential figure. It is practically more than half of the growth. Also, due to the fact that, as I was saying, we have to consider a reduction worth some 22 million euros related to the review of the remuneration of capital. We expect this from the water and gas distribution sectors, especially, which should contribute 32 and 28 million euros, respectively. Finally, a summary regarding some financial elements. The growth of EBITDA and of EBIT, especially, as summarized earlier by the chairman, which should take us to over 700 million by 2025, and which will lead to the further improvement of ROI, which should reach 8.7% in 2025, despite having reabsorbed the effect of the review of the remuneration of invested capital, which in our case affects about two-thirds of the invested capital, which is regulated. Moving on to ROE, which we expect will improve to 10.6%, up from 10.2%. percent in 2020. This is due not just to the expected tax rate stability, but also and especially to the benefits brought about by our financial management. You may recall that in 2020, and in 2021 especially, we worked on some important liability management transactions, allowing us to target a scenario like the one we are now facing to 2025, where only 17% of our debt will mature in the next 5 years. And in fact, we only have one maturity in 2024, or just under 500 million. The remaining part of the debt, which now has an average maturity above 7 years, will be distributed over the following decade, with the yearly maturities never exceeding 500 to 600 million. And this is a rather important element in risk management. This also takes into account the fact that our projection on the cost of debt at 2.3% in 2025 is especially solid, since it isn't based so much on assumptions regarding refinancing costs, but on real costs. One final word on the cash flow. As in previous business plans, the approach is that even with a significant increase in investments, all of these investments, including the dividend policy, has to be self-financed by the operating cash flow. And in the case of the business plan we are presenting, it is expected to reach 4.5 billion, thus self-financing the 3.8 billion euros in investments we're planning, except for the part related to financial investments in M&A. That is because, as we know, we aspire to making them. We have focused on M&A in the past. We will continue to do this in the upcoming 5 years, although the entity is by no means accurate because it will depend on the opportunities that will arise over time. As a consequence of that, this is only the only component that modifies the level of indebtedness, in our case by around 800 million. But this won't change another essential characteristic that we have always had over time, which identifies us to a certain extent. I'm referring to the balance sheet flexibility, guaranteed by a debt-to-EBITDA ratio which stands at around 2.8 times compared to 2.9 times in 2020. That is the level we expect to have throughout the business plan years. This will also give us the required flexibility for any M&A operations there may be, for opportunities which are even more significant than ones we've imagined today. Thank you. In conclusion, let me make one last promise, as usual, the one regarding shareholder remuneration. Besides the increase in the dividend per share, which we saw at the beginning of the presentation, we have also been consistent in considering an upward change for all dividends throughout the business plan years, compared to the promises we made in the previous business plan. The payment of higher dividends is sustainable from the financial point of view, thanks to the increase in the expected cash generation, and also because the increase with an average annual rate of 5.7%, which we forecast, is in line with the dynamics forecasted for net earnings per share, which are also expected to increase by 5.7% on average per year until 2025. Finally, the business plan we illustrated doesn't include all of the potential for growth. We still have to consider, on top, the synergies obtained from new M&A transactions and the potential returns of projects that are defined and financed within the recovery fund sphere. Thank you, and I'll leave you to the Q&A session. The Q&A session will begin in a couple of minutes. We will be right back with you in audio mode with a conference call.
A company that has always striven to be the best Italian multi-utility for its customers, workers, and shareholders. A reliable company that remains close to citizens and businesses, that provides essential public services every day to an area inhabited by over 5 million people. Multi-business strategy focused on three core areas: waste management, networks, and energy, balanced between free market activities and regulated services, and working consistently to bring Hera, its customers, and the areas served into the future.
For any questions you may have, press star followed by one on your telephone. To leave the questions list, press star followed by two. And please use your telephone and speaking slowly for translation. The first question is from the Italian conference call by Enrico Bartoli, Stifel. You have the floor, sir. Good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. Thank you for this Q&A opportunity. I have a first question on the waste business, which, as you highlighted, will be the main growth driver in upcoming years. Can you elaborate? Can you give us some details regarding your view, especially on the evolution of demand for waste treatment? You underscored the demand for recycled plastic. Basically, the green trend in terms of industrial production will be a fundamental driver for the growth in this business. And can you also give us a technological comment when it comes to Hera? You mentioned you will be moving from flexible plastics recycling to rigid plastic recycling. You mentioned carbon fiber. Tell us what the possible technological challenges you expect in this business in upcoming years. I have a second question on the energy sector. Can you give us some details on what you think the impact of the residential customer liberalization will be? And I'm interested in your view on the competition level that you expect in the tenders to obtain these customers, which are ongoing. Also, given the events we saw in recent months with the small businesses that were liberalized. The third question is on hydrogen, which you mentioned in your presentation. Last year, you gave us a strategic view on the possible opportunities for Hera with this new vector. In the meantime, you've started working on some tangible projects. Can you give us some details on the opportunities you feel will be included in the business plan? Thank you. Well, let me try to answer your questions in the order you place them in, beginning with the trends in waste. Well, in 2021, we certainly had a demand situation, which was fairly dynamic. We had to expect that with a 6% growth in the economy. There was a major demand coming from our industrial customers, which, as we commented during the previous quarter presentations, was accompanied by a consolidation and a growth of prices on the market. Now, what we envisage for the business plan years is that this trend will continue in the upcoming years, since it's not just a growth factor in the market in general. As we highlighted, we will be investing a significant chunk of our resources in the waste sector, not just to support the projects we had already identified and already started to a certain extent over the past 12 to 18 months, but also because with the acquisition of the three most recent companies that we completed in 2021, we have some authorization processes and some development processes that will help us to support our geographical presence, which is one of the strategic reasons why we did complete these transactions. And therefore, we'll be able to focus more specifically on the industrial customers in those geographical areas we're present in, namely the northeast of the country, Tuscany, central Italy, the Marche region, and the Emilia-Romagna region, which are the main territory we're in. Of course, we won't be overlooking other territories since we are a national player. I think what makes the difference is the approach we have to certain industrial customers. And this goes back to the second part of your question. There certainly is a major growth, which we saw and which gave us the confidence to make our investment plans for the upcoming years. I'm referring to the growth in recycled products and plastics specifically. The demand for these products in 2021
was 20% or almost 20% more compared to 2019, not even 2020. Because compared to 2020, the figures are even bigger. That goes to show that not only is this a sector with a major growth in demand, given that many companies wish to evolve in their production, especially when it comes to packaging, but it's also an indicator, a more general indicator, showing that there is an increased interest in our customers in having traceable waste dynamics so that their waste can be extremely sustainable. And that can become a defining trait in the offering we have. And that is one of the approaches we have in our global waste management. Now, what are the technological challenges? Well, there are quite a few. Let me go back to some of the examples I shared with you. We have the new asset we'll be building in Modena, which accounts for some 30,000 tons for rigid plastics. Well, that is an asset that will be built with a partnership with NextChem, which belongs to the Mectechnicon group with a specialized technology. That's a new sector for us. Those mechanical technologies are something we are already very familiar with. They're common to other plastics we treat, but of course in this case we'll also be dealing with new segments and new application areas. On the other hand, of course, we'd like to experiment. The carbon fiber asset I mentioned earlier is an experimental one, and therefore, as you were saying, this is a new challenge we want to deal with. And there are other challenges too. Think of biomethane, for instance. We'll be experimenting a new technology allowing us to create raw material for the production of biomethane stemming from wood and cellulose through specific treatment, allowing us to increase the immersion of the carbon molecules, which in turn can help us produce biomethane. These are just two examples. Obviously, we have to consolidate some of our traditional technologies. We underscored the importance of keeping some of our key assets updated. We are in the very middle of the complete refurbishing of the industrial waste asset we have in Ravenna. We are refurbishing a line in the Trieste waste energy plant. We worked on modernizing the chemical and physical plants to treat solvents and other materials, other liquids, which goes to show that not only is our more traditional asset base evolving, and I'm referring to the asset base that has supported us in recent years, but we're also facing the challenge in terms of turning to new technologies to expand the set of our offers, but also to turn to unexplored sectors that can offer interesting solutions. During the presentation, I mentioned carbon fiber with a specific reference to the automotive sector. I think of the amount of carbon fiber used in the aerospace sector. You'll understand that if that technology works, we can open up some new and interesting applications. There's no getting bored in the near future. Moving on to your question on energy regarding the possible competition in the tenders which will be taking place, the technical elements of the tenders still haven't been disclosed. We had an experience last July with these tenders for small businesses. It was a pretty heated competition. Therefore, with the larger numbers of customers that will have to be liberalized, we decided to refrain from exaggerating things, and we chose to focus on more reasonable figures with a view to conquering some 800,000 to 1 million customers, which means less than 10% of the total numbers. Of course, there will be competition. This is a major opportunity for many players. It's a significant challenge, not so much in terms of managing these customers at the more interesting price. The real challenge, of course, lies in being able to extract value from the management of this new customer base. And our recent experience on the very first clusters, which were referred to last July, are certainly an interesting test for us. Your third question was on hydrogen. As far as hydrogen is concerned, we had provided you with a roadmap last year. We continued working. If I were to summarize the most important milestones that we have reached, let me mention the certification of the measurement systems and our patented meter, the NEXT meter, which allows us to measure the blends of green gases, which includes methane blended with hydrogen, which stands at 15% to 20%, which will be the figures allowed in the distribution networks. In the upcoming weeks, we will be starting experiments on a blend up to 15% on a physical network in the province of Modena, with over 15 connections to customers with 15 boilers. So that will be a real field test. We continued working on a number of activities, also vis-a-vis the opportunities that provided by the NPRR in terms of resources. And in that territory, we'll be cooperating not just with the local public transportation companies located in the Emilia-Romagna region, but we'll also be working with SNAM on a specific project focused on a hydrogen valley in this territory. We also continue working on our analyses and on acquiring knowledge regarding the optimization of the use of electrolyzers, which, of course, are types of equipment we've never dealt with before. And together with the University of Modena, we are performing a number of tests on fuel cells for domestic and industrial use. So that's just an example, a couple of examples of how we've been following up on what we mentioned a few months ago. And of course, we also have the power-to-gas asset that I described during the presentation. So again, it's just a way of showing you that we are continuing to work on preparing and acquiring knowledge on this sector. Of course, a lot will depend on three or four key factors. First of all, the directive on green gases and the way it will be transposed nationally. Secondly, the final definition regarding the additionality characteristics and the things related to the production of hydrogen. Thirdly, the tender frameworks, which will be published linked to the RRP related to the hydrogen value, infrastructure, or sustainable mobility systems in the transport sector. And of course, fourthly, last but not least, of course, we have the incentives scheme for green gases, or for gases with a low carbon content. So these are four elements which are still being worked on. So going back to your question, what I can say is that we continued working on our guidelines. We continued to be involved, and we're just waiting for these four elements to be completed so that we can roll out the projects we're focusing on, also in terms of the economic sustainability situation, which will emerge from these four axes I mentioned. I realize my answer was long, but I hope I gave you all the details you wanted. The next question is by Javier Suarez, Mediobanca. Good afternoon, and thank you for your presentation. I have a more general question first and then two more detailed ones. The general question refers to the impressive acceleration in growth and cash generation and net working capital compared to the previous business plan. Can you help us understand what you did from the managerial standpoint during the year, and what are the main measures you will be implementing so that the group's growth can be somewhat different, not so much from the real delivery in the past, but more on the growth you expect. So what are the managerial actions that you're working on that will push this, that will support this more sustained growth? Second question goes back to what Enrico was mentioning earlier regarding your approach to the recovery fund. The chairman was saying that the upside of the recovery plan isn't present in the business plan. I know that quantifying that upside is difficult, but when do you think the recovery plan utilization will in fact really boost the contents of your business plan? How can it, when will it support your growth? Because I think that the recovery fund will give major support to a company like yours. And then my third question is more on details regarding the scenario brought about by the strong growth in the price of commodities and the impact on your company. In this scenario with rising gas prices and electricity prices, will this have an impact on your business model, specifically for the supply business? And the waste energy business wasn't included in the recent decree. Can you give us some details on your hedging strategy in this activity? Thank you. Beginning with what we did in terms of cash flow generation, and which elements did we implement to speed up the growth of the bottom line and cash generation? Well, my answer may appear to be detached from your question, but let me just mention the essential elements. The liability management actions we did in 2021 made a major contribution. If you look at the, outlook we had in recent years on the reduction of the cost of debt, this is very important. It brings us 2 to 3%. The differential compared to the 2 to 3% in 2020 is significant, and this is a tangible benefit. These are operations that the market has allowed us to make, and things went even better compared to what we had initially imagined. The second lever was certainly the direct consequence of a careful credit management policy. Not only did this improve our cash flow in 2021, as you saw in our preview, we will be closing with a debt level which will be especially positive and much better than what we had expected as a target in 2021. And that stems in a major way from our management of working capital. And the direct consequence of that is the fact that based on the international accounting standards, we were able to work on provisions for credit management in a more efficient way compared to our previous forecasts. So that's one of the reasons why, with the growth of EBITDA, we have a growth which, compared to historical rates, is more than proportional on the EBIT level. Third, this goes back to the business and also to some of the organic reasons behind growth. We are certainly starting to see the a number of good results, and we're confident that we'll be able to raise the bar as far as our ambitions are concerned. For instance, when it comes to the management of our networks, we are changing our operational model to a certain extent, moving from more local territorial models to models which are more based on asset management and asset development. This is an organizational change, which is different compared to metering management. And then, of course, in the different business areas, we are also having excellent results in terms of efficiencies. And then we also have the concept of availability stretching. In other words, the way in which we can optimize the use of infrastructure to serve our customers. For instance, in the gas sector or in the electricity sector, these are all topics allowing us to extract more value from our assets so that we can increase profitability with the same amount of invested capital. When it comes to sales, let me just give you the final piece of the puzzle here. Energy sales and activities in the waste sector, too. And in the latter, the position we have on recycled plastic, which dates back to a decision we made in 2017, gave us some very good returns in 2021. And as I was saying, 2 years ago, we had imagined to increase our business by increasing recycled plastic by 150% by 2030. Now we're looking at a 125% increase by 2025, which will further increase later, which means that we are speeding up the development of these activities more so compared to the recent business plans, given the trends we saw over the past 12 to 18 months. You also mentioned the recovery plan. It's difficult to answer that as of now, because when it comes to sectors we're involved in, I can only give you some comments on two tenders. One is on circular economy and one is on waste management. These will see the projects submitted by the end of February. When it comes to recycling carbon fibers or rigid plastics, for instance, we'll be looking at 100 to 120 million euro projects. To that, we added projects for a further 100 to 120 million, which we will only be implementing if resources become available. The former are included in the business plan, but what the chairman meant was that for the further 100 million euros, which may arrive, which we haven't included in the business plan, which may be financed publicly, may allow us to extract further synergies in terms of operational efficiency, especially when it comes to waste management on the one hand and the circular economy on the other. So this is the benefit I expect. When will that benefit happen? It certainly isn't something we expect for 2022, and it may cover just a part of 2023. Again, if and when and how much of these resources we will end up receiving. For the time being, we are waiting to see the outcome of the tenders regarding the water cycle in reducing leakages in that sector. We're also waiting to receive the decree on biomethane, because that, of course, is something essential when it comes to programming wave 3 regarding biomethane assets. The same reason why we are experimenting matrices which are beyond the organic waste sector. So the operational efficiency, which may stem from these further resources, is something which may happen on top of everything else. Then if we refer to more cutting-edge technologies like hydrogen, for instance, well, in that case, that depends entirely on the four aspects I was mentioning earlier. And the very first messages, the very first signals we've been getting from this point of view aren't particularly comforting. The do not significant harm principle applied to hydrogen sites ends up creating a number of restrictions which would significantly curb opportunities. But again, since I don't have any specifics yet, I'll wait for the final documents. You also asked what the impact may be on the supply business related to the price of commodities. Again, this is a matter of forecasts. Obviously, we hope we do go back to normal prices, ones closer to the historical average, because, of course, currently there is a lot of tension in all of our customers, and I'm referring to households and businesses. And, of course, our way of supporting them is to offer them installment plans in the more serious cases. Of course, whether or not these customers will comply with the installments is something difficult to say for the time being, because, of course, it depends on how long this high price phase will go on for. Although we do expect them to decrease at the end of winter in late March or early April. Then, of course, another interesting topic refers to the fact that our sales are suffering given the higher complexity of the situation. Of course, negotiating with such high prices is never easy. So these are the more general elements. And, of course, they're also linked to the ordinary management of settlement and forecasting activities, which, of course, ultimately amplify the economic effects of the various choices made in that regard. It certainly isn't an easy phase. It isn't easy for the businesses, and it isn't easy for resellers such as us. Your third question was on waste energy plants, which are included in the decree, of course. These assets are incentivized by green certificates by 50%, and therefore there is a netting phenomenon, meaning that we have the right to have a total revenue, which is the sum of the two components, which means that if the electricity price increases, the green certificate component will decrease. So that's one of the reasons, I think. Besides the marginality of these productions in the overall portfolio for Italian renewables. Well, as far as how we operate is concerned, well, we have a fairly clear policy in terms of hedging. We hedge roughly 80% of our production up front for our waste energies in the current year. And we start hedging the following year, too. This is a rolling process so that we can neutralize volatility in one direction or the other. I hope that gives you a pretty comprehensive answer. Thank you very much. That was very interesting. The following question is by Emanuele Ugioni, Kepler Cheuvreux. Good afternoon, and thank you for your presentation. My first question is on the water business. I noticed that the total CapEx is slightly above 1 billion, although your EBIT target is flat in 2025 compared to 2024, or slightly below 300 million. So I'd like to understand what the moving path is, what the causes or the drivers are, probably more more competition in the Rimini tender, or lower benefits from the new legislation regarding the recovery of energy costs or technical quality elements on EBITDA. So that was my first question for you. The second question is on the supply side of things. I'd like to better understand what your trajectory is for 2022 and 2023. How many customers do you think you'll be able to acquire this year and next year, not just due to the liberalization of the market, but also due to a phenomenon we're already seeing and which will grow in the upcoming weeks and months. And I'm referring to the fact that many small electricity and gas resellers, many of these small players will be suffering due to their small size. Who will be facing bankruptcy or serious problems. So what does that mean for Hera in terms of consolidating the market or increasing its market share, both organically and also by buying chunks of customers who will be out for sale? I apologize, but earlier I missed the explanation regarding the 29 million negative power gen. Is that something which was already included in the previous business model 2024? Is it linked to new legislation? And if you expect to see those effects earlier? And my final question is on acquisitions. You mentioned 300 million euros investments for a further 300 EBITDA. You also have to add the equity. So what multiple do you have in mind? And how have the multiples changed compared to a year ago? More in general, for the businesses you're present in, and where do you expect to make the more important acquisitions? All right, then. Let me begin with your first question, the water business. Compared to the previous business plan, we have embedded in this business plan the effect of the evolution of remuneration on capital. In the previous business plan, we had done that considering a neutral impact, whereas now we have incorporated the reduction linked to water, which is estimated to be at around some 10 to 11 million. To that, of course, we have to add the same amount of invested capital with a lower remuneration compared to the previous business plan, which means that throughout the years in the business plan, that has a 13 to 14 million euro impact. That is the main motivation, which basically justifies the results matching. It also means that we are imagining a number of activities, especially to boost efficiency, for a similar amount, or the same amount, rather. Honestly speaking, we were a little bit more positive on the contribution of third-party activities. And that accounts for a couple million. Nothing major, but that's just to give you the complete picture. And keep in mind that compared to last year's business plan, we've been witnessing a general increase in certain costs from chemicals and other components that we manage operationally. And these are costs that we had to reabsorb in our forecasts. Moving on to your question regarding customer dynamics over the next 2 years. That requires a complex answer. When it comes to the organic sales development, We intend to confirm the pace we've had in recent years with a growth equal to 40 to 50,000 customers per year. That's a net growth. And when it comes to the phenomenon you were mentioning, keep in mind that we will be managing over the next 2 years, so that's 2022 to October 2023, we'll be managing the FUI default system in the gas sector. And in recent months in that sector, we've been seeing a significant amount of new customers, or rather new subjects entering this market, often due to the fact that their previous suppliers have renounced supplying them, sometimes due to the bankruptcy of the players, such as the Kura consortium, which happened a few months ago. And the first 2 months of the year, we saw an increase equal to 200 and 250,000 supply points. Of course, they continue to be in the supply in the default market for a limited amount of time, or that's how it should be, at least, because that is a service which should guarantee the continuity of supply until the customer finds a new supplier. More in general, of course, there are a number of smaller companies that are suffering currently. They have to face a tense situation, not just because of the larger amount of working capital, but also because there are a number of guarantees which have to be supplied when it comes to buying raw materials from a third party, and those have more than doubled in terms of the amount required. That's one of the reasons why we have imagined a major contribution from M&A, roughly equal to 30 million, because we imagine that this phase will further reduce the huge number of suppliers that characterize this sector, which, again, as you know, has over 400 players in the market. So, going back to your question, of course, if I only look at things from the organic point of view, the effects from the Maggior Tutela market will be similar to the one we had over the past 2 years. The approach to the market is the same as it used to be. Whereas in the short term, in 2022, we may be seeing an increase in the number of customers in the last instance market for the reasons I mentioned earlier. Now, the reasons behind the 29 million contraction in power generation are very simple. The comparison we made is with 2020. 2020 was the year of the pandemic. As you may remember, the year was marked by a contraction in energy consumption, which was well above 10%. And that required major intervention from ancillary services, MSD. So it was a year in which the MSI activities was very good and very, and it was very much an anomaly. Therefore, when we make our projections now, also with the introduction of the capacity market, the contribution we stem from power generation, of course, has to discount the extraordinary nature of 2020. And our projection stands at some 29 million euros. Did you have a fourth question? Yes, a fourth question on acquisitions and on multiples for acquisitions. Well, in the waste sector, if you consider the transactions in 2021, well, those transactions had multiples which stood at around 6 times. In the energy sector, as you know, we tend to focus more on the value per customer. Of course, now some of the references may be carefully assessed also given the current context. As you know, when it comes to M&A, situations vary from one deal to the next. So these are the references for these two sectors. Mr. Tommaso Di Vignano, gentlemen, there are no further questions. All right then, well, thank you very much indeed, and I hope you enjoyed our new presentation and the new model we used this year, and I'm sure we'll be seeing you in late March for the presentation of the 2021 year results. Thank you.